We are God's children of the light, as we find out in 1 Thessalonians 5 today, right now. And we've got a word for someone. Blowing out someone else's candle won't make yours shine any brighter. That, my friend, is a daily struggle. And as for me, I refuse to participate in that arena any longer. Rather, we're writing to encourage you to fan into flame and to rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God has given you. So live in a way that pleases God. Be holy, not lustful. Passion as the pagans do in their ignorance of God and their ways.
Listen, I say listen. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. O Zion, messengers of good news, shout from the mountaintop. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout it and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming.
So Satan comes and tries to take the word out of your heart, the word of God. If he is successful, he gets your joy because joy is a product of something that was spoken by God. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, when you lose your joy, you become weak, you become helpless, unable to overcome. You become an open target for Satan's attacks.
So remember what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. God's word produces joy, and joy produces strength. So here we are in the book of John 16, 22. And you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, says the Lord, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take away from you. We have seen that if no man can take your joy, neither can Satan. He does not have the legal right to do that unless you give him that right. So let's fill our cups with joy as we feast on the Word of God. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
Please hold. Your host will be with you in just a moment.
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your clarity, because this book in the Bible says we are children of the light. And Lord, just shine some of that light of life on us today, that we've encountered darkness daily, but we turn and run to you. We are your children of light. Thank you, Jesus, for laying out this word and this message before us, Lord, that we take great peace and hope with every word that comes from your mouth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Lord, we just pray, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come and guide our mind and our thoughts and our tongue. Lord, we want to glorify you. And we come against the enemy. I'm praying right now in Jesus' name to bind the accuser and the dissettler and the negative that you've been trying to throw at us. We command you to leave this time that we have together dedicated to Jesus Christ and speaking about him and the desires of his heart and the desires of our heart to share the love that you've shown us. So we come against all those negative forces that have been attacking us, and we bind them and we cast them out in Jesus' name, and we say, go now in Jesus' name. So Lord, we just pray that your peace would come upon us. Your word is absolutely precious. Lord, lead and guide us in all that we do today. And pray that the listeners would have ears to hear, Lord, and that what we would share would come right from the very heart of God. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, just reading this, we don't call ourselves apostles, but we do call ourselves messengers, as we speak as messengers who have been approved by you, Lord, to be entrusted with the good news. Before Paul said that in this chapter, he says, how badly we were treated in Philippi. And Lord, you heard our testimony this morning before we started recording of how badly we were treated in Philippi. Lord, we just ask that you just bring us out of that darkness and into your glorious light as we speak. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we have two different versions, don't we? You're reading.
I have NLT, New Living.
And I have the Passion Translation.
You have the Passion, so there.
Yeah, and I think we should just start from the top and kind of go through it.
Yeah.
Realizing I was encouraged, or I was led to share this at the jail on Tuesday as a follow-up to Acts 17, which we spoke about last week, when it's they come to Thessalonica, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they come to Thessalonica, and of course that was their method, is that they would go to the synagogue, and for three consecutive Sabbaths they shared from the Torah, and then went on to say, as they shared the gospel, that Jesus is the one. He is the Messiah. He came and died for each one of us, and he rose again. That was the message of Acts 17 when they went to Thessalonica. They weren't received by the Jewish people real well there, but they were received by other people. And this is a follow-up. That First Thessalonians, it was interesting. I was reading about it, and I was reading that it might be considered one of the first letters and doctrines of Christianity.
Hmm.
That Paul wrote this,
right?
You know, before any of the others. You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and it starts out in First Thessalonians. It talks about, he's one of three authors, because he talks about it's Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You know, that's how it starts out in 1 Thessalonians 1. You know, so that it's co-authored. And the reason why this is written is to encourage the fledgling church, the church that was established, to encourage the church and to help them to not only survive, but to flourish and bring glory to the Lord. And so the entire letter, which is only five chapters, 1 Thessalonians, talks about that. Because, and I was reading also, is that they were expecting that Jesus would have returned, you know, and this was like 2 years after, you know, that the church was first established, that he would return.
Right.
And that's why Paul is addressing all those issues. And those are the important things to realize, is that he will be coming back. And this is, what, 2,000 years later.
Right.
And he hasn't come back, but his spirit is alive, and it's alive in us. So we can just start with, if you want to start, Kevin, do you want to just start with chapter 5 to begin it?
Or okay.
What are your thoughts?
Sure. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord's return, will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. I think we should discuss. Should we discuss that section? That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Yeah, yeah. Mine says, and there'll be no chance of escape. You know, so now is the time. now is the time to realize that he is coming back.
Right.
We need to be prepared.
The pronouns that Paul uses when he speaks of these things, he speaks of the church as we and us, you know, the believers. And then when he speaks of they and them, I would say that would be the unbelievers, because he said like sudden destruction will come on them. Mm-hmm. They will not escape. They will not escape. And I think that's key here to understand that in this day of the Lord, that we, you know, we should not be fearful. People just walk up to me that knew of me asking, you know, like, is the world coming to an end, or is God, you know, when is Jesus coming back? You know, what's happening? Because they watch the news, and what they're worried about is the day of the Lord.
Right. And actually, when we get into more of chapter 5, it talks about that with the fear. That's why we'll just kind of continue on.
Sure.
But this is scary. Sudden destruction will arrive at their doorstep, mine says.
Right.
You know, it's like, so it's a warning. I mean, this is a warning. Paul is saying, you know, this is a warning. But then he goes on in verse 4, he says, but you, beloved brothers and sisters, because he's writing to the Christians Thessalonica.
Right.
Are not living in the dark, allowing that day to creep up on you like a thief coming to steal. For you are all children of the light, as we were sharing before, and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to the darkness. That is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake, keep alert, and clear-headed. I love that word, clear-headed, because you and I were sharing that. Because what ends up happening, listeners out there, when we come, as we prepare for the Thursday podcast, we're under attack. I mean, we're under attack. We're, you know, the enemy will try to throw things at us that will discourage us from not going on and sharing the truth of the gospel and the truth of the power and the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Everything comes against us on Thursday in preparation for that.
That's right.
It really does. But we are children of the light. We are not children of darkness. And it's like it says in other scripture, don't hide your light under a basket.
That's right.
We should be shining that people would say, I want what they have, because they're not living in fear. They know the times. They see the times. And they're sharing these warnings. That's why I love every verse in the Bible. I really do. You start reading it, and you see how it all fits together. You know, and Paul is a master of bringing it all together, and we'll see later on when we read, because he talks about the armor of God.
Well, he calls us sons and daughters of light.
Son, yeah.
You know, however he puts it together, but it's the followers of Jesus, believers, our sons and daughters of light. And that's a way they used to, and they still should, names come about. You know, Barnabas, son of encouragement. You know, believers, son of light. So we take on the characteristics.
Mm. Yes, preach it, here it comes.
We take on the characteristics, not of the darkness, as he's pointing out here. Mm. There's the sons and daughters of the light.
Hallelujah.
And then what happens here? You know, how badly we were treated in Philippi. Yeah. Don't go there. Yeah. I mean, evidently the sons and daughters of darkness were there because they do not believe. But Jesus, even in John 8:12, says, I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's mm-hmm. it's just in that, mm-hmm. you know. Here we go. I'm done.
Yeah,
you shut the book.
We are
shut the door.
That's why, Kevin. I love it.
I mean, we're sons and daughters of light.
Mm-hmm. So why should we be responding to darkness?
Well, that's right.
Our light should shine into the dark areas, the darkness,
right.
to bring that
right.
light, because that's where our strength is because we are children of the light. That just hit me. That's like,
I mean,
thank you, Lord. Like you said, when you closed the Bible, it was like,
that's
that is overwhelming.
It's
listeners, listen to this.
Done.
You are children of the light. You are to speak light. You are to speak encouragement. You are to show abundant life. You are to show peace. Yep. And you are to show no fear.
I mean, the day of the Lord is coming, and it's talking about the unbelievers,
exactly.
The darkness.
That's right.
You know, but we have the light, and we should not be discouraged or fearful, or it's just like, you know, when is this tragedy going to be over? Mm-hmm. When is this darkness going to go away? It has gone away. It's let Jesus into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit
Hallelujah.
Fill your room. We turned on that switch and walked into this room. When we turned on that switch, the power that comes from somewhere mm-hmm. runs through the very veins of this building and lights up that light on the ceiling
exactly.
so that we do not stumble. Follow the light.
Follow the light, as he is the light. In him is light. There is no darkness.
Child of light. Mm-hmm. I mean, child of the light.
Mm-hmm. I like this as it goes on. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness.
There you go.
This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. For those who are asleep sleep the night away, and drunkards get drunk at night. And I was one.
That's right. That's right.
That was a part of my life. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts, and a helmet of the hope of salvation over our thoughts. For God has not destined us to experience wrath, his judgment, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He gave his life for us so that we may share in the resurrection life, which is what we share on the podcast
That's
every
right.
week.
That's right.
Resurrection life in union with him, whether we're awake or asleep. Okay. Because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another just as you have already been doing. So he's complimenting them that's what they've been doing. And as I was sharing with Kevin before, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, is the whole armor of God. And maybe we should we go to that? Maybe that would be appropriate, because here's Paul sharing
That's right.
about putting on the breastplate of faith
and the
helmet of salvation.
It's easy to say, live in a way that pleases God. I mean, that's right out of the notes
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Be holy. Live in a way that pleases God, be holy, not lustful passions as the pagans do in their ignorance of God and his word. I mean, that's a strong statement.
But it's clear.
But it's clear.
It's really clear, and that's what we need to be instructed is what is it? What is the character of God, and what is the character of the enemy? What is the character? Well, what are we fighting against?
Yeah, but how do we live in that way that pleases,
mm-hmm.
you know, put on the full armor of God. What is that? You know, do I go down to Costco or Target and pick up some armor?
Here it is. That's why I like getting, I'll go right to Ephesians 6, listeners.
Let's do it.
Starting in verse 11, this is from the Passion Translation. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us. Get that.
Okay.
It's provided for us.
Provided.
For us. He doesn't need anything from us.
No, we don't have to
he
go out
complete.
And work for it.
We don't.
No, no.
So that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Realizing the accuser is out there 24 hours a day accusing
right.
us.
Strategies, yep.
Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. That's the key. So when you're talking to people, you realize that you're coming against evil forces that people have succumbed to, or that they believe to be true, and we are not dealing with the human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark, there we go, this dark world in bondage. Mm. That's the darkness we were talking about in 1 Thessalonians. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides. There we go again. That God provides to you, so you're protected as you confront the slanderer.
Mm.
For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. There's the answer.
Right.
Putting on the full armor of God, we will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Truth strengthens us. Put on holiness, here we go again, as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert that you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace, sharing the gospel. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts, which is repeated in 1 Thessalonians.
Right, referring to that. I mean, that's a possible, threat to our well-being.
Exactly. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Knowing the word of God and speaking that word, it will stop the arrows of the enemy coming at you.
Yeah, and what we're describing here is how to live in a way that pleases God. And then he goes on to say, be holy.
Right.
Be holy. And we only can do that with this spiritual armor.
That's right. And then he goes on to say in Ephesians, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer. Every form of prayer, constantly intercede.
Yep.
Prayer at all times. All means all. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers, and pray also that God's revelation would be released through me every time I preach. This is Paul speaking. The wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel. Yes, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity. Every opportunity. I like every and all. Even though I am chained as a prisoner, I am his ambassador. So he was writing this from prison. Ephesians from prison. So that's the full armor of God.
Thessalonians 5, it says, right before the day of the Lord. And that's what people are concerned with. When is the day of the Lord? I think Bible scholars has worked that out, that it's not a day, but it's a period of time. Seven days, but how long? And that's always the question: how long is 7 days?
You know,
God created the world and humanity in 7 days, but how long was that? A literal day, but they right before that day of the Lord, when all this stuff happens, judgment is coming. Jesus is coming for the church. And there's a judgment for the church as well as the children of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And it will happen. And in that respect, I don't see how that can happen in one day, or a 24-hour period or whatever. It will take a period of time. And that's the age-old debate is when are people going to be raptured before that? Mm-hmm. Or taken up into heaven, will we be returning to throughout that period with that's all up for
lots of different discussions.
Concerning
when is the timing? Because there's two judgments. You've got the judgment, the wrath of God for the people that have lived in darkness that have refused to surrender and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And then Christians will be judged, but it'll only be judged on what were the works, because we will be, the key is names are written in the book of life.
Right.
Jesus.
And that's the only thing we need to be concerned about.
That's right.
I mean, not when and how and what's going to happen, because it says, the church, the believers in here are children of light. I wouldn't want to be in the judgment as it's described for the non-believers.
Exactly.
In the Bible. But right before the day of the Lord, it says, because we're wondering, when is it going to come? People will be saying peace and security. That word was translated from a sense of something that's absent from alarm. Like I was this morning. When they told me about the repairs to our house, I mean, I was alarmed.
Yes.
And I was not with it as far as getting ready for this podcast. But absent peace is absent from alarm, absent from the physical things, the spiritual things, the that which the darkness brings to this world. And then security comes from like a blind safety. You know, they had a false sense of security in those days, the day of the Lord, because he's coming as a thief in the night, and he's telling us that not to fear that. It's just going to happen suddenly, but we will not be, you know, we will not be caught up in the in fear at right. the time. It says we'll know that this is going to happen. We'll mm-hmm. go like, oh yeah, this is what he's been talking about. But the non-believers, the darkness will be just shaken because it's talking about them.
Yeah.
That they'll be saying peace and security. I mean, all is good.
Yeah, and they'll be afraid because it's like, well, what's going on here?
Right.
What's going on here?
What's going
you know,
on
that's
here?
Why,
yeah.
That's I mean, why it's important for us as believers is to be doing his work when he comes back. Is that we are, and how do we do his work?
Right.
You know, he provides us all the strength, all the energy. He provides all that we need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. So we need to stay close to him. We need to draw near to him, hear what he tells us to do and how we are to live. And that's why this part of the Bible is its instructions that Paul was writing, Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the church at Thessalonica. You know, this is what we need to do. And it says here, we appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Realizing we're in a battle. That's the first thing all of our listeners need to realize.
That's right.
That's like we feel the battle more on Thursdays because of doing this podcast. We feel
right.
the forces are coming. But it's like if you've ever been in the military, you have to be ready in battle. You have to know your station. You have to know what you are to do.
Right.
And you have to be in unity with the brothers and sisters that are
right.
on the battlefield.
And the Bible says to be not ignorant of the methods of the devil.
That's right.
Because that's how we survive. I mean, we see that happening, and then, oh yeah, that's you, devil. I'm not going to let it mess with me.
That's right.
Because I've put on
the full armor of God.
Yep, I put on faith, love. I put on a sound mind.
Yeah, and we use the Word of God to dispel the fiery arrows that are coming
right.
at us, and shod our feet with the Word of God, the truth.
Right.
You know that we are based on truth. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. Is he talking about us?
That was that was our prayer this morning. I didn't audibly say it, but that was my prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm inadequate. I mean, Lord, help us.
Yeah. And he says, you are inadequate.
Yeah.
But with me, you are victorious because
yeah.
I take on the things that you can't handle.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just,
you can do
the light
all
bulb
things.
Just go on.
You can
the
do
light
it.
Bulb just
yep.
went on. Yeah.
Yep. You can do all things because his spirit will strengthen you.
That's right. But apart from him, as I
that's
always
right.
say from John 15, abiding in the vine, apart from him, if we're not connected, vitally connected, getting the truth of God, reading the word, praying, seeking his face, and doing what he's told us to do, then we are victorious and we'll have that strength because he says, I'm the one that's fighting for you. I'm doing the battle.
Right, right.
You're not doing the battle. I'm doing the battle for you because he is complete. He
mm-hmm.
is complete. He goes off to war in front of us. It says, just follow my steps, stay in line, stay your positions, and speak the truth in love to the people around you.
That's
and
right.
instruct them that the day is coming. The day of wrath is coming. The day of judgment is coming. But we, who are believers, have turned our lives over to Jesus Christ. We have no fear
and
because
I would,
we know.
Right. And I would say that, you know, where it says, right before the day of the Lord, people will be saying peace and security. I don't think he's coming anytime soon. I do not get that sense of people thinking they are peaceful and secure.
Not in the world at all. I don't see that.
I don't see that. Everybody's trying to find their identity, their their self, whatever goes on. But another thing is people always talk about this Antichrist.
Right.
Is he the one that comes, he or she, or the Antichrist, this to put the world in order so that they feel the peace and security? And where people get that is that idea is, you know, the day of the Lord is a period of time. In Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 27, and this is where they get that Antichrist or somebody that's coming to make peace. He shall make strong covenant with many for 1 week. That's a specific period of time. It's like this person that's making it peaceful, it sounds like he's making a 7-year peace contract. And then the world is falsely sitting there with a sense of peace. And this is where it says in Thessalonians, right before the day of the Lord, people will be saying peace and security.
Right.
But we don't know when that's going to happen.
And like you said, we don't sense that at all because the world is in turmoil.
That's right. You know, the world doesn't sense it.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, it's actually like it says, and in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be
That's right.
Pandemics. There'll be people starving to death. There'll be all those things. There'll be volcanoes. Look at our weather patterns around the world.
They are shifting.
Speaking. It's speaking about the last days. You know, so that's why it's important that we are tied together with brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Because there is no fear in knowing the truth, because the truth will set you free. So he goes on to say, be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate, which is we feel many different times, maybe more in one day than another. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand again. Be quick to demonstrate patience. Wow. Do we need patience? Yeah, just ask the Lord for patience. You know, I don't do that. It's like, Lord, just slow me down. I want to hear your voice. Yep. What do you want me to say?
I think that's important, to be faithful to stand.
Yeah.
Be faithful to stand. Do whatever it takes. I mean, pray. Call upon the Lord. Call upon his name, and you will be lifted up.
That's right.
Because so many people over the years, I don't think it's a pandemic of it, but we've seen ministers who fail to stand. Mm-hmm. You know, we see brothers and sisters who fail to stand, and some of them just become dismayed and stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that they find their way back to their relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's critical. We need to stand not only alone, but together. We need to be dependent on him for our very strength.
That's right.
Because he is the one that brings unity. Otherwise, we don't have unity, but we can make a choice. I'm going to encourage a brother that's suffering. I'm going to be helping. You know, I need to do those things that will raise him up. Like Paul is saying in here again, is like, demonstrate patience with everyone. Resist revenge and make sure that no one pays evil in place of evil, but always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers.
Yeah.
Not just to believers, but to all the unbelievers. So do what is beautiful. Not looking at vengeance and revenge and getting back, oh, that person did that to me. And that's like, you know, pray for your enemies, you know. Be generous with one another. Think of the best about the other person and not judging.
Right.
Because we need to build those relationships because we need each other. I just realize every time I come out and we get together with Kevin and Don is that I need this this fellowship because we strengthen each other, because we hear from them.
Be faithful to stand.
Yeah.
And that's...
And you help me be faithful to stand because we realize who we are. Apart from him, we're nothing. But with him and with each other, we are his messengers and we are a force to be dealt with because he will use us if we're available to him and if we trust him.
Yeah, and that's back to be faithful to stand. Mm-hmm. But stand with a brother or sister. And you said we need each other. That's a war technique that the Romans would use. They would line up next to each other. You have the gauntlets and the armor on your shins. I mean, they had spears and swords, so you had to have something to deflect. Mm-hmm. But they would stand in a row, mm-hmm. I'm not saying lock knees, they would just move their leg towards the person next to them, and it would just press it there. And I think even the gauntlets or the things on your shins, like a soccer player, mm-hmm. only they were larger, they would sort of lock together. So standing there together with their armor on and their spears with their spears and shield, that was almost impenetrable.
Right.
They stood together, and that is what we are to do in the spiritual.
Yeah, that was a battle technique, and of course, then Paul uses that as putting on the full armor of God.
Right.
That's how we are. The Word of God is our spear. The shield of faith, knowing that, and standing, the truth girt around our, you know, the helmet of salvation, keeping our mind and our thoughts clear. I love the, you know, you put it together for me right now.
Well, it's just like the British used when they fought. They would have, I always thought they were crazy. They'd go out in the middle of a field and beat each other to death. But they would form a square, four walls. And if one of those walls fell, there was another row of people inside to put that wall of human flesh and weapons up.
Yeah, to do the battle.
To do the battle. And they would guard all four sides that way. And it was quite successful until Waterloo.
That's right. And then I like this. He goes on to verse 26. Let joy be your continual feast. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Continual.
Continual feast. Make your life a prayer. Make your life a prayer. This is real easy stuff, isn't
it? That is easy. Yep.
And in the midst of everything that's going on, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
In the midst of everything, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the trusses. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for the work that's going to happen to this house.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord, that you are our strength.
Well, thank you, Lord, for restoring us and restoring the house to that which is new.
Thank you for restoring me today.
Thank you for lifting us up today. That's right.
Yeah. He says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. You know, he'll draw all men unto himself. Jesus says, if I lift him up, he'll draw all men.
And who have we been approved by? Mm-hmm. God. We speak as messengers who have been approved by God, and he entrusts us with the good news. Paul is admonishing us to walk uprightly, and elsewhere in the Bible to take this good news that God has entrusted him with and bring it to others.
Yeah, we are entrusted to do that.
Entrusted. I mean, God trusts us.
Yeah, let that sink in. That's why we have to speak the word and encourage one another. I love how he ends this too. Now may the God of peace and harmony. That's God.
He brings peace and harmony. That's right.
Yeah, do we need harmony?
Well, and not the peace and security that it talks about just before the day of the Lord.
Exactly.
It's his peace and harmony now.
Yeah, and then he goes on, he says, peace and harmony set you apart. We should be set apart, making you completely holy, and may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. The one who calls you by name, that's us, called, is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you.
Wow. Yeah, I think I heard that in 1 Corinthians 1:9. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a repeated thing that, he will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. So Paul says in the end here, and He says, I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So he's asking us all to read this letter to other Christians.
Mm-hmm. So all you listeners out there, read this and share it with the people around you.
That's entrusted us to read this word, to bring this forward. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah. Every word is precious. I had as a summary kind of for 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, I put down, be alert and clear-headed, knowing the times we are in. Being alert, putting on the full armor of God, standing firm, stand our ground, be an encouragement to each other. Secondly, do not fear, be dismayed, as the Lord is at our side.
Wow, yes.
He says, give me your hand, I will lift you up, and I will keep you, I will not forsake you. In these difficult times, being an encourager, point to God, give thanks always in all situations. Give thanks.
Thanks.
Be in constant communication and pray without ceasing to our Lord Jesus Christ, to Father God, with the help of the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides us. Strive to live holy lives, encouragement during persecution, because Christians are being persecuted as we speak today. And we are in the end times. And be encouraged that he who began a good work in you will continue until it is completed.
That's right.
So,
we'll be complete in him.
That's right.
When we see him face to face.
Right. We are complete in him, as it says in Colossians, Paul's letter to Colossae. Colossae? Is that the way it's pronounced? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So listeners, be encouraged. Realize, and Paul talks about the Thessalonian church as an example to be used. He said, you know, you're already doing it. You are faithful. You are providing for the needs of the community. You are standing fast. You are being an encouragement.
Yeah.
And so he talks about it, and you think about when they first went to Thessalonica, you know, the Jewish people, you know, what did they get? They hired the unsavory people to have a riot and stuff to cause all sorts of uproar and stuff. So they had to leave. But the Thessalonian church, Paul speaking to those three successive weeks, established the church, and it flourished, you know. So he sent Timothy back. Paul said, because Paul was ill, and he sent Timothy back, check out what the church is doing at Thessalonica.
Yeah.
And he reports back. They're healthy. They're faithful. Yep. They're standing firm.
They're using
the shield of faith. They're speaking the truth. They're encouraging one another. And they're not paying evil. They're not trying to get revenge and stuff. They're praying for people, praying without ceasing. So that's another theme throughout the Bible.
Right.
It's another thing of encouragement.
It's such a good example that, verse 27, commanding is the word I see in here, but, you know, in the name of the Lord, read this letter to all brothers and sisters. That's all churches. That's all groups of Christians, that they may know and see that this works. I mean, this works. He's interested and concerned about the church living as it should and producing fruit, safety, and peace until the day of the Lord, and then we shall see him then.
Right. So stay alert.
Stay alert.
Seek him at all times, giving thanks at all times.
Be watchful.
Be watchful.
That's right.
And be clear-minded. And I was likened, Paul's letter to Timothy is to have sound mind, to have a clear mind, to have a sound mind, because confusion comes from the enemy.
That's right.
But we don't even know unless we're in communication and communion with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. We don't even know that we're not clear-minded. You know,
well,
that's why we have to continue to go back. We got to keep going back to the source, and Jesus Christ is the source.
That's right.
He is our source, and he is the one that we need to point people to all the time.
That's right.
Because he is the one that has the answers. He is the one that died for me rose again, and he conquered death. And that's important for me to realize.
Right. And that's getting alone with the Lord. That's now me on my red rocking chair in the back porch is a place to go. And the Bible calls, and it's biblical meditation, you know, meditate on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, meditate on these things. Mm-hmm. And these things are the Word of God. That, mm-hmm. And that's a prayer time. That's a time to inward self-check. And God will lift you up. It says at that time, God will lift you out of the pit. I mean, the original pit we've been lifted out of, and now we are in His glorious light. Says here to be continually in prayer. So how much more should it be to have that alone time and meditate?
Yeah, this is, I go back to Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians 4. It's entitled in the Passion Translation, Living in Harmony with One Another. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable. Keep your thoughts on that. Beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always.
Wow.
Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things.
There you go.
So whatever is true, whatever is a good report, meditate on these. Another
meditate
version.
Meditate on these
meditate
things.
On right. these things.
That's right.
When you said about the meditation is like, yeah, we need to keep.
And that's it. The question is, have you done that today?
Right. Yeah.
Why, as the psalmist says, why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? And the very next line says, worship God. That's the key.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And that's a good way to end this podcast.
That is. Like, there we go.
Just worship God.
Shut
worship
that.
God. That's right. And realize and stand firm.
Shut the book. Stand and meditate.
Right. And do what He tells
and
us
do
to do.
And do what He tells us to do. I mean, it's, yeah.
And He'll give us the energy.
It's duh. I mean, how many times that old slap the forehead thing?
That's right. So we just, you know, we just thank you, Lord, for this time.
Yes, we do.
Because it is your time. You are perfect. You are such an encourager. You are never far from me. You just say, put your hand out here, Sandy. Put your hand out here, Kevin. Put your hand out here, Don. And I will walk with you.
That's right.
And I will be your warrior. I will be your battle. But I will show you love, patience, peace that surpasses all understanding. Draw near to me and stay close in communion with me, and I will do all these things. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We love you. We glorify you. We praise you because you deserve all the praise, the glory, and honor. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this time. Bless you. Bless all you listeners out there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus said to me again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church. A network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as PGN.Church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.